College football nerds here talking Notre Dame and Florida State. That's right, we're doing game previews. Season is here. One quick plug for y'all, two things. So one, homework for you, give us your score predictions in the comments and we're going to tell you how wrong you are and you can tell us how crazy we are. Second thing, we are going to do a live show, something we're going to try out this year, live show Saturday night, September 4th. After a lot of the game action has happened, although Pac-12 will be just getting started probably, 10 p.m. Eastern is what we're shooting for. If you want to talk about the action with Josh and I in real time, that's going to be a good place to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. We actually really love our live shows. There's a lot of stress behind the scenes to get them set up from a technical standpoint, but they're a lot of fun. All right, Josh. We were pretty positive in our Notre Dame preview. Notre Dame fans, if you're just watching this and you haven't seen our preview, I'll link it in the description, but go check it out. We were pretty positive in our preview for Notre Dame, but we did say that there could be some rebuilding there. They lost a ton of production on offense, although return a pretty darn good running back. And on the flip side of this, Florida State not only is returning a wealth of depth on offense, and they've got decent returning depth, returning number of starters on defense, although not a great defense last year, but they might have been the biggest winners of the transfer portal that I've seen since they started it. So talk a little bit about that. Let's get rolling talking about kind of what Florida State did in the offseason, the moves they made, and how it might transform this team from what we saw last year, which I think it was like 3-6, to a team that might be a team that nobody wants to play.
There's three big transfers I think it's important to know in this team, and that's Mackenzie Milton at the quarterback position is the obvious one. As of the time we're recording this, currently Travis and Milton are still in a quarterback battle. I'll be surprised if Milton isn't the starter. He'll be a lot much worse quarterback than I expect because I don't think Travis is a high-level starter, though I could see Travis having a package as a runner. But on the defensive side of the ball, you get Jermaine Johnson, who is a former five-star outside linebacker at Georgia and has been a really solid contributor from them in a depth perception and a high-level player, just stuck behind some really high-level guys himself like Ojulari. Keir Thomas, who started 32 games at South Carolina, is at the other edge position. You get guys like Brandon Moore at corner. There are a lot of high-level, highly experienced transfers on this Florida State unit, and particularly in positions of need or holes on, you know, on especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is not the defense that a lot of people are going to expect to see. It should be a much better defense than that. It should be a significantly improved defense from a year ago, particularly when they really didn't have much of a pass rush. I mean, I think prior years have been extremely frustrating for Florida State fans. I mean, Kando was the guy that was always supposed to come on, and it felt like he was always hurt, or it was always hurt when you needed him. And I think Florida State's going to solve a lot of those problems through transfers. So when you solve that on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball, you get a quarterback that hopefully has some pretty good level, high level play, and pair it with an offensive line that, while not good, at least returns a ton of guys. And so you basically get all your starts back. There's a lot of reasons for optimism. And when we were talking about preseason rankings, I think it's like 43rd in one magazine, 51st in another, both of us feel like Florida State is one of the more underrated units this year. Now, we were really high on them going into last year, and we were wrong. Now, I think you can chalk some of that up to COVID hitting, which we did our preview way early, and we didn't know what the situation was going to be, and the fact that you had a new coaching staff that really had no opportunity whatsoever to know what they were dealing with. This year, they did, and they found guys, and they replaced them. They proactively fix the problems that they saw in spring practice. There's a lot of freshmen that are going to start at receiver for Florida State because they saw issues at the receiver position. I expect this to be a tremendously better team out the gate than what we saw at the beginning of last year, where I think Norvell just really didn't know what he had on his hands or much less the problems he was dealing with.
Yeah, and nobody can explain how Florida State beat North Carolina last year. And then they bookended that win with a 42-point given up by the defense to Notre Dame and then a 48-point given up to Louisville. So the defense has got to improve, but We talked about in our Alabama Miami preview how it's in a lot of ways it's great that Miami is catching them at the right time, but really it wasn't a good matchup, or it's not a good matchup regardless of that. But in this game, I think Florida State is catching Notre Dame at a good time. When you're replacing this many players on offense and you have a lot coming back on defense, it's just a good marriage for a good outcome, especially if it's a team that may be overall more talented and better than you come November. If you catch them in September, a lot of things can happen. And I think, you know, I think this, the point spread reflects that. I think it's at 7.5 right now. It opened at like 10, which says a lot. Sorry, y'all, I had a little thing going on there. All right, so for me, I mean, thinking about this, I think that this, we're dancing around this because we don't want to upset Notre Dame fans, because it almost feels like a slight to say that Florida State's going to be in this game, or Florida State might hang with you because of the depth and because of the returning talent, and what if Mackenzie Milton is really good? Then that kind of changes the calculus. But maybe, Josh, talk about how Notre Dame fans need to get their head around the fact that Florida State, if they play them close, might say more good about Florida State than bad about Notre Dame. And I know you and I have consistently given Notre Dame a hard time about playing poor teams or mediocre teams close. But in this case, for me at least, in week one, if Notre Dame pulls out a close win in this one, I'm not going to necessarily see that as a bad thing. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Sure. Everything I just said about Florida State came from the perspective that I think Florida State is going to be a lot better than many people anticipate. It really isn't from the perspective that I see Notre Dame as having a lot of particular weaknesses. Now, we actually did a Notre Dame preview, and I'll tell anybody that tunes into this, we intended to do a number more. Both of us just had alternating work issues and travel issues where we were never home at the same time for the past like week and a half, and we weren't able to finish those, unfortunately. But we got the Notre Dame one out, and we are positive on Notre Dame. We just think this is a little bit of a rebuilding year, and especially early. I think Notre Dame will be a better team at the end of the year than they are early in the year. And it's kind of a weird deal where, I think weird, I don't know why. I feel like it's not the perception, but Florida State has a lot less turnover than Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's offensive line will end the year being probably a significantly better unit than Florida State's. They're a lot more talented. I know that Florida State's has had a lot of deficiencies in recent years. But going into the start, Florida State does have five guys that have started before, and Notre Dame has one. And that tends to cause issues for about 2 to 3 games for a given team. You got a new quarterback in Notre Dame. A lot of your named players, particularly guys that were disruptive pass rushers, are missing. And that's going to, you know, maybe take a little bit to get back up to speed. What I do like for Notre Dame is that you have a lot of carryover in the back seven from last year. A lot of your core players are there. You've got one of the best defenders by far in Kyle Hamilton back there at free safety, sort of roaming around, and you can move him whatever position you need to, and that will create disruption, maybe turnovers, and that's what I like about Notre Dame. But going into this early game, I think Notre Dame is facing a more competent, more talented team than people would have guessed in January or December before all these transfers occurred. And I will say, if these transfers hadn't happened, I think it would be significantly in Notre Dame's favor. I think people just haven't quite caught up to how much Norvell was able to plug those holes. And I think Norvell is probably a better coach than a lot of people realize. And I think the end of the year, Florida State has a pretty solid shot of being a ranked team. So if this is a close game, I don't think it's an indictment for Notre Dame at all. I think this is more just a really tough early season test against a team that's a lot more talented than people realize. And a team that returns a lot of, even guys that are plugged in are transfers with, again, a transfer DN that's played, started 32 games, a lot of seniority on this Florida State team. And Notre Dame, for the first time maybe in a couple years, is going to be the young one here playing against a more experienced team in Florida State. And I think that's going to make it for a really tough battle.
So for me, you know, we talk so much in these theoretical early season matchups. We look at depth charts and we say, you know, you know, this team's got good running backs, but how's the inside linebackers on the other side look? Or, you know, new corners breaking in against really good wide receivers. There's a matchup advantage there. We talked through all of that. But does this really come down to quarterback play? Does this come down to the fact that, you know, we saw Cone flash for a half against Ohio State, and he was pretty steady throughout his career, maybe not elite, but maybe it was because he didn't have the talent around him that he needed. And now he's leveled up, you know, in surrounding supporting cast. We saw Milton be great. If he's that guy post-injury recovery at Florida State again, is that the difference? Does all of this really boil down to which quarterback steps up in game one and there's your winner?
I'm not sure it's that simple. Honestly, I think Cone has more around him to work with in a better situation for him to be less productive. I think Notre Dame has a path to win that goes through Kyron Williams. And they have a lot of new faces on the offensive line, but they also have a lot of talent on that offensive line. They got a good running back. They have a good system that's been really well established. They've got a history of being able to move the ball. And I think more importantly, they've got a lot of solid players on defense and disruptive players on defense, where I think they can really bottle up Florida State, create some turnovers and win, you know, get 14 points on the ground and another like defensive touchdown or turnover prone touchdown and win the game. I think there's a lot more pressure on Milton. Even with everything I talked about on the defensive side of the ball, Florida State was not an elite defensive unit by any standard last year. And I think it's more about becoming good than elite, but I still think they can be beaten in that regard. And more importantly, I don't know where the production is going to come on the offensive side of the ball from the skill positions for Florida State. Corbin is a good running back. I don't know that he's an elite one. And then in the receiving position, really haven't been a lot of clear good options. I mean, the spring game was a lot of trying to figure things out for Florida State. I know like Malik McClain looked like he might be a dude as a true freshman that plays like a more senior player, but they don't have a guy like Michael Mayer that's going to be a quarterback's best friend that can move the sticks some. And I think that puts a lot more pressure on Florida State. So I do think things are easier for Notre Dame, and I think Cone can have a bad day and Notre Dame can win. I think if Mackenzie Milton has a bad day for Florida State, I don't think Florida State can win this game. I just don't think they have the surrounding pieces, talent, and experience, particularly on the offensive side of the ball or in proven disruptors on the defensive side of the ball, to win absent some pretty good quarterback play.
And I don't know that they've named Milton the starter yet. I think we're assuming that he's going to be a starter, but yes or no, is it actually a good sign if he's not the starter?
I think it's a bad sign if he's not the starter, frankly, because I've seen Jordan Travis, and I think Travis could end up being a good player down the road, and I think he could be a good player both in terms of his development and his style. This is not the team you want to play Travis. I don't think having a running power, more power-focused quarterback is going to be good against what has a Notre Dame defense that has a lot of really good solid pieces at all three levels. And that's why I'm saying I think you need good quarterback play, because I think you're going to need that quarterback that really escapes the pocket and makes some plays throwing the ball down the field. I don't think Florida State can move the ball consistently straight up. So I think if Travis is the starter, I get kind of concerned about where Milton is from a health perspective and several other perspectives. But I will say in the spring, I felt like coming out of the spring that it seemed like Milton's job's to lose. I'm just surprised he hasn't been named the starter to this point. There's kind of either they're just trying to make sure they compete for the position, or there's just something I'm missing, because it feels like it's Milton's job to me.
Okay, it's picking time. Let's do some picks on this. And for me, this is tough because that's 7-point spread. And y'all, we're going to track our picks throughout the year because we haven't really done a good job of that in the past, but we want to, you know, hold ourselves accountable, but kind of post and take our victory laps where we can. And in week 4, we'll start the model and we'll track the model and post those as well. Give you all a reason to watch us for other previews and not just the ones you care about. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game. I do not. I think Notre Dame is going to, I think both of these teams are going to struggle on offense. starting out. I think there's more cohesiveness on the defensive side of the ball for both of these teams. With Milton coming back, if he's the starter, I wonder about mobility there a little bit, which was some part of his game. He wasn't a burner, and he wasn't like gonna run you to death, but that was some part of his game in terms of the offensive scheme that he was comfortable playing in. And I'll be honest, for Notre Dame fans, I'm not super high on Cohn. I think he's a 7.5 yard attempt kind of guy in against good defenses, and I think that's kind of what you're going to get here. But man, they got the answer at running back. So for me, give me Notre Dame 24, Florida State. I'm going to go 16. No, give me 20. Give me 27-20. Which is a push, but that spread's going to move a little bit here or there, so we'll see if I cover based on that movement. But I'm going to go 27-20 Notre Dame, which, again, I think says two things about Notre Dame. One, they faced a pretty good opponent in week one and should be lauded for their schedule this year. And two, they're going to be a better team. Both of these teams will. Far better team in November than they are in September.
For my purposes, and I'll start by saying I understand the line currently to be 7.5, so I think you technically took Florida State with the spread as I have the line right now. I'm going to take them 2017, Notre Dame 2017. 22-17, yeah. I think this could be a really hard-fought game that just reflects two teams that are pretty good. If one team runs away from it, you ask me that all the time, who is it going to be? And I think the answer there is Notre Dame. The wild card that we haven't touched on at any point to this video is Notre Dame had a lot of injuries in the wide receiver position, and it's possible that Austin, Davis, Keys show up and end up being really dynamic receivers in this game. We both felt like that was a little bit of an overrated aspect last year, but it's possible we were wrong, or it's possible that gets thrown around. I just don't think with a brand new offensive line and a brand new quarterback that I'm not super high on that they're going to really be able to leverage that, at least in game one. I could see Notre Dame being a much better team than Florida State in game 10, but it doesn't really necessarily matter right now. So I think this is going to be a hard fought game for whoever wins it. I agree with you. I think it's going to be low scoring. It won't shock me if Florida State wins this game. I think it really comes down to the fact that I think Notre Dame is going to be a lot more consistent, and I think their back end is going to be more opportunistic. I don't know if they get a turnover or if they just manage to break up some passes, do what have you. I mean, Kyle Hamilton is a cheat code for this defense, and he's almost worth a touchdown a game in a close game like this. And we talk about it a lot, and I'll repeat this mantra. When it's 20 points or less that we're projecting, things tend to hinge off random weird events, right? A guy catching a tip ball for a touchdown or a pick six. Those sorts of things will determine the entire game, one play at one time. As the score gets higher, you think, well, you know, every possession matters, but it's more just sort of the law of averages takes over. When it's really low scoring, at least in my experience or view, things do tend to hinge more on random events. I think Notre Dame has the defenders to capitalize a little more than Florida State does, and that's why I have them winning. But I personally, I think this is one of the more difficult to predict games. And I came into this thinking it was weird that both of us felt like it could be a lot closer than maybe some people anticipate. And then I saw the 7.5 point spread and I felt really justified. I think Vegas is on top of this one. This Florida State team is really badly underranked, I think, in terms of a lot of national rankings or metrics. This is a really good Florida State team. And this is, I think, really low-key one of, if not maybe really the best opening. Clemson, Georgia is probably better, but in terms of big exposure, but probably the second biggest or best game, in my opinion, in terms of how it's going to play out on the field.
Yeah, and like I said in one of the early segments in this video, I think by the end of this season, this is not the year for me for Florida State. Like, I don't think that this is the year where they finish in the top 10 and really open a lot of eyes, but I think this is the year where they cement themselves as a team that nobody wants to play. And I don't I hate to kind of make this analogy, but Alabama went undefeated in the regular season in 2008 under Nick Saban, which was the second season under Nick Saban. But that first season, they won like 7 games, but nobody beat them by more than one score. And that was the predictor for the future. There was no talent on that team when Nick Saban took over. Like, there really wasn't a lot. But he instilled in them and coached them in a way that nobody wanted to play them, even in the year that they were losing to La Monroe and struggling with other teams. So that's where I think Florida State is this year. Is it's not a rebuilding year. It's a building year to something that could be really special next year if they find the right pieces on offense. All right, well, don't forget, let us know in the comments what you think this score is going to be. Tune in Saturday, September 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern, because we're going to be talking live football with y'all that Saturday night. I can't believe we're talking about football in 2021. This is awesome, and we're not just talking about conference realignment, actual games. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.